It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Menards is your one-stop shop for all your summer essentials. Whether you're stocking up on everyone's favorite snacks, making a patio perfect for entertaining family and friends, or getting ready to gather around the grill, Menards has everything you need for your get-togethers all summer long. Save big money now at Menards. Plus, don't forget to check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
This is Hidden Tillers Live with Tony Bruschi and Robin Drake.
So Nick Renner filed his petition. Now the ball is in the family's court. Literally, Jake and Romy already cut the money off once, and the trust itself has been a revolving door. The payout was reportedly withheld for 2 years before Paul Kanin took over in February. Kanin raised his own concerns about Nick's judgment, and now he's out. Brand new trustee, Jody Montgomery, was just appointed and is already apparently asking to meet with Nick. Eric, Kane's stated reason for not giving into the past, capacity to make sound decisions. Nick's lawyers have fired back saying no court has ever declared him incompetent. Kind of. I mean, how much weight does a trustee's judgment call like that? I mean, actually carry in a probate court? Because again, it's an opinion. It's someone saying he doesn't have the capacity to make good decisions. Well, great. That's kind of something that a judge or a doctor needs to make. And then the judge can go, yep, I agree with it. We don't really have that here. I mean, unless you go back to where he was, there was that moment several years back where it was under California estate where he was, what was it? There was some ruling that was made where he was, I think, incompetent. It was something. I don't want to say it incorrectly, but it was something where he was, you know what I'm talking about? I'm trying to think what the terminology was, where he was under the supervision, basically.
Conservatorship.
Conservatorship. That's what I'm looking for. The conservatorship for that year, essentially. And then the way California law is set up is that the conservatorship can be battled, you know, 50 ways to Tuesday, because California doesn't like having conservatorships, and which a year it was lifted. So I don't know. Do they have much of an argument here when one person's opinion is they don't have the sound capacity to make decisions? Again, that's an opinion.
You know, if I was a judge, the trustee's opinion as to the capacity of the recipient would matter, but it certainly would not be dispositive. It would not just be taken as gospel and be like, oh, well, okay, this trustee can sort of do whatever they want. And, you know, because that's so ripe for abuse, Tony. I think, you know, trustees under so many different scenarios they might not like the person. They might not like the person's girlfriend. They might, you know, these things can come up and they could use, you know, this alleged lack of capacity as a pretext to not give what is a lawfully obligated distribution. And so I'm not sure the judge is going to just, you know, look at that and say, oh, this trustee had good reason not to disperse, especially without some kind of a medical report, some kind of psychological analysis. I think that opinion alone really is not going to hold a ton of weight at all in the eyes of a probate judge.
Is there any way you think that the family can argue this legally and that would actually hold up or even get the time of day? Because it looked pretty rock solid just looking at how that trust was set up.
Yeah, I mean, you know, talking if they can talk about the conservatorship, they could say, hey, look, this guy needed somebody to manage his affairs because he was incapable of doing so. But if that conservatorship was then lifted at some point, that tends to indicate that the individual no longer required someone to make all of their decisions for them. And at that juncture, probably a court is going to look at it and say the distribution should have happened. And so I'm not sure how much legal foundation that this family is going to have to try to resist at least the distribution at 30 years old. Like it's the distribution at 35 years old, it's a much different story.
And I remember the conservatorship, when they initially had it, it was established, and again, this was when we first started covering this case, and so correct me when my memory fails me properly on this one, everyone, but it only lasted a certain period of time just because of, basically, I'm going to just butcher
this. The law
this,
in California.
Yeah, the law in California. I was going to say statute of limitations of it expired, and so they couldn't continue the conservatorship. So is there any way the family could argue that the law prohibit him from keeping it in place when they really wanted it in place, that actually could be a mitigating factor?
Sure. You know, I think a judge could look at that and say, you know, or someone could argue that, hey, the reason the conservatorship ended was not because he didn't need it. It was because of some other legal mechanism. He still needed it. So they could certainly make that argument.
At the end of the day, the path to Nick getting the money and making the argument of the 30-year-old that was entitled to a certain dollar amount that didn't receive it. That's, I mean, I don't know. It might be a pretty strong argument. But with all cases, you know, it takes time. It takes time to go through the legal system and for this to be worked out, for a ruling to take place. Are the Reiner kids, Nick and Romy, is this more of a game of running the clock out than it is necessarily arguing the principles of it? Because time is of the essence here for Nick. If he wants Alan Jackson as his defense attorney, well, Alan Jackson's going to want a guarantee of pay, and he's going to want that as soon as possible. He's not going to take at least my assumption is he's not going to take well, hopefully this works out in court at some point and you get that $1.5 million. Let me invest $10 million into your defense through my own firm. It's not going to happen. And with this being a case that it's going to take some time to work its way through the system, how long does probate court take for something like this to work its way out? Could this take years for it to be settled? Essentially, can they run it all the way where he's not going to get the money for the attorney? He goes to trial. Slayer statute goes into place, and then that essentially rectifies the problem. Or would that rectify the problem? Is there an argument that can be made there of, well, yes, Slayer statute in place after the fact, but at 30 they were still alive, so he should still be getting that money. He's still entitled to that.
Yeah, you know, I do not think that the family could run out the clock. And here's why. Probate court can take months or years. It can be a very prolonged process. However, most states, and I believe California has, have a wrinkle written into the probate statutes that essentially says, if there is a time-sensitive need for legal counsel in a criminal case, including if the individual is charged with murdering the people who set up the trust, his parents, that can really take precedence, and courts are going to look at that. They're not going to slow play that. They realize that time is of the essence, like you said, and I think that under these circumstances, a probate court is going to push this to the top of the priority list because of this pending homicide case for which the alleged beneficiary is requesting the funds now.
Can it be appealed?
Okay, sorry, go ahead.
What's up?
Can it be appealed? Like, say, let's say the court says, no, we don't agree with you. We don't think you should get that money. Can you appeal that? Yeah. Can he appeal that?
Yeah, I think he can. I think either side could appeal. Yeah, I think he could appeal that. I think if the court said, hey, you do have to give Nick the money, the family could appeal that and try to delay things further. However, I bet if that happened, what the court would do was they would probably say, hey, he gets at least some of the funds now pending this appeal due to the time sensitive nature of things. And then if the appeal works out in favor of the family, perhaps he has to try to give the funds back or something, at which time they're going to be extinct.
And there'll be no funds to give back. Could this be could this be a lever from a defense standpoint? Let's say Nick goes to trial. Let's say Nick doesn't get the money. This court says no. Or it's caught up in appeals, or it's just caught up in litigation. Goes to trial, found guilty, doesn't have Alan Jackson. It's a state representative attorney, and it's just end of day. That's what happens. Could this be an appellate issue for Nick to argue? Of I didn't, not that he didn't have, you know, competent legal representation, but he was not afforded the ability to have the representation that he would technically have been entitled to had that money been given to him. Should a court down the road on appeal or whenever they settle this decide, yeah, you can have that money. You're already found guilty, but here's the money. Enjoy a lot of Snickers and commissary and $1.5 million. Or, I mean, I don't know. I mean, is that a road that could be traveled by Nick? And should he hold that in his back pocket if that's a possibility?
It would be a creative avenue. And certainly if someone is convicted of murder on appeal, they're throwing everything, including the kitchen sink, at the appellate court. The thing is, Tony, what comes to mind is that the Court of Appeals, if there was a conviction in a criminal case at the trial court level, Court of Appeals would review that criminal case and have jurisdiction to make rulings on that criminal case. I'm not sure the Court of Appeals would have jurisdiction to make rulings on the probate case and how an error in the probate case may have disadvantaged a defendant in a criminal case. I'm not sure that – I don't think that that's how court of appellate jurisdiction would work in that scenario. So the Court of Appeals might say, hey, it's unfortunate that that Nick did not get the funds and that the probate court did what it did. But that appellate court does not have jurisdiction to say the error in the probate court gives you a new trial in the criminal court.
I'm just laughing because I'm watching Tony becoming a lawyer in the last couple of years. It's really good.
It's true. I mean, I'm always trying to think of these because it's like, you want me to play Monopoly with you, but you're not going to give me all the money to play. That's not fair.
So I did look it up while we were talking. So L.A. uncontested probate administrations in L.A. still take 9 to 18 months if it's uncontested, and if it's contested, 12 to 24 months. So they would need that rush job, as Eric was stating, in order to do that. And now, it could actually play to, boy, I can't believe we're going such weeds on this one. It could play to Alan Jackson's benefit and Nick's benefit if they did release, like you were saying, Eric, partially, because I looked it up. Typically, Alan Jackson looks for about $250,000 for a retainer on a case like this, on typical cases. And so if they release that much and Alan Jackson thinks he has a shot at that guilty by reason of insanity plea, it could be just enough to push him over that edge.
Let me ask you this from an attorney standpoint, Eric. Obviously, you know, there's ways to be paid. There's the money that comes in that you'd certainly make, but there's also, you know, the clout, the publicity, the celebrity that comes along with some of this stuff, the notoriety, which then of course pays itself off by getting more clients, more high profile cases that you can make more off of. What is the threshold here for someone like Alan Jackson when you're weighing, okay, I mean, Nick only has so much money. And at the end of the day, to, you know, someone like Alan Jackson, it's a lot of money, but it's not like change the world money when you're Alan Jackson, in my opinion, of $1.5 million, especially for all the costs you're going to be incurring for your team to handle this damn thing. So it's not like it's a massive payday either way for Alan Jackson, even if he were to get his hands on the money. But the publicity, that's certainly worth quite a bit. Is it worth enough? Is it worth it for someone like Alan Jackson to step in, get whatever he gets out of Nick Reiner, if there's anything, for the publicity of being the attorney in another case that America can't stop watching?
My inclination is that it would be worth it. And you know, Tony, I heard an interview from Alec Murdoch's counsel, Dick Harpootlian, and at least one other gentleman, I forget. And I don't know how straight they were being with the reporter, but they essentially said, hey, we pretty much got paid on the first go-round, and we're on it on this second go-round. And the omission suggested to me that they are not getting the same kind of compensation on the second go around. Yeah. Yet they are still in that fight. And I'm wondering if that principle is sort of transferable to Alan Jackson in this case, that you know, he's really hot right now in terms of a celebrity mm-hmm. attorney, and to sort of approach that zenith and have another nationally publicized case that who knows, he could win, that could sort of propel him into an echelon where he doesn't have to market anymore. He doesn't have to spend money yeah. on marketing and getting cases for the next, you know, 30 years or whatever. They're just coming to him in droves. And mm-hmm. so I think it's probably worth it.
Yeah, go ahead, Tony.
But does he need Nick Reiner to do that? I mean, there's a gazillion cases he could take on that are high profile that I'm sure people would love to have him on, where he would pretty much have a guaranteed payday. Is it worth the weeds of Nick Reiner, I guess?
You know, what an awesome problem to have where you can choose the biggest cases in the nation.
Yeah.
and select what you wish. You know, I don't think Nick Reiner's case is massive, but it's not, you know, the OJ case or something.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure if Nick Reiner is the best case to choose for that purpose, but could be a darn good one.
Yeah. Does this go into the calculus of that too? Because, you know, so if Nick is found guilty, then he doesn't get the other half of the trust. That's, you know, that's pretty established because he can't benefit from the death of because he killed his parents, basically, right? And so Alan Jackson would be limited then. We say limited, you know, people like you and me say, wow, limited to $750,000. But like you said, it's chump change to a guy like Alan Jackson, except for that notoriety. Is part of that calculus of him taking a case like this is the challenge of everyone knowing, even though he's innocent until proven guilty, that he was the one that stabbed his parents, that he got everyone thinking that he might get away with it? Is that actually part of that calculus?
I think that certainly could be an element. And one thing too, Robin, that you bring up is in criminal cases, typically you can't have a contingency fee, meaning you can't have a situation where you get paid more if you win. That's unethical.
Right.
But in this scenario, if he wins, perhaps Nick gets that second payout, at which point does Alan Jackson get a second payout? And so is this motivation potentially raising an ethical issue whereby Alan Jackson has such a pecuniary interest in the outcome of this criminal case that it causes problems? I could foresee courts and prosecutors looking at that.
And I only said that, I didn't mean as him getting a second payout, is because when I looked up his general fee structure on the possibility of the total fee being above 750, actually being in the million framework for the time and energy he puts in on a case like this, is actually within the realm of possibility. It's the only reason, because for billing purposes, he actually might be above that 750 that Nick might get.
Something like, I mean, imagine a trial like this would cost, I mean, I have no idea, but we're probably millions and millions and millions of dollars. Like 1.5 is just kind of scratching the surface, right? Wouldn't it be?
You know, it's certainly going to be an extremely costly trial. You're talking about attorney's fees, not only for Alan Jackson, but he's going to have a legal team.
There's
going to be a lot of attorneys.
Yeah.
There's going to be paralegals. You're going to have to hire a number of experts. Those people are going to be costly, and it's going to drag on for a long period of time. There are filing fees. There are all sorts of expenses that are going to be associated. So, yeah, a high, high price tag on a case like this.
And the mental health fees alone to do all the testing that they're going to want to do on Nick, paying for those in LA County is not going to be cheap, as you said.
Right.
I mean, like, just the fees alone, I mean, $1.5 million sounds like a lot. It would go pretty quick, honestly. Yeah. Just if, you know, to try and put up the defense of Nick Reiner that would need to be put up in the defense of Nick Reiner if he's going to truly fight this in court. Or you know, I mean, I guess maybe if you get to a plea, I don't know, maybe less expensive if it was a plea that came through this. I don't know. It would be very fascinating, though, as to where the twist and turn takes us next here in the Nick Reiner case. Press subscribe so you don't miss any of the coverage on that. Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Brewski and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk. Breathe. Rechalk. Still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At ChumbaCasino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.